Thank you. Jaya Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Priyanka Jokacharya Ashwati Sati Sri Sriman Abhay Charanaka Bhakti Nath Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prepsakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Gurudhyana Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrindi Ki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Swami Radha Guru Kire Govardhan Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Navajit Maya Kultan Ki Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Ki Bhakti Devi Tulasi Maharaj Ki Hari Ram Sankirtan Ki Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki All glories to the assembly of all glories to the assembly of all glories to the assembly of all glories to His divine grace, the world and the world. Vishnu Padai, Krishna, Sai, Shivale, Bhakti, Vedanta, Sai, Namaste, Saraswati, Devi, Govardhan, Chara, Devi, Shri, please hold your hands. Repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Aishwarya Mahamaya
Aishwarya Mahamaya
Nitya Shri
हालेलुया राज to return home back to Godhead. Purport to the first verse. When a saintly person wants to see his kinsmen, he has no material desire to see them. He simply wants to give them some instructions so that they can benefit. Vidura belonged to the royal family of the Kauravas, and although he knew that all the family members were destroyed at the Battle of Kurukshetra, he nonetheless wanted to see his elder brother, Dhritarashtra, to see if he could deliver Dhritarashtra from the clutches of Maya. When a great saintly person like Vidura sees his relatives, he desires only to deliver them from the clutches of Maya. Vidura thus offered his respectful obeisances to his spiritual master and departed for the city of Hastinapura, the kingdom of the Kauravas. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the fourth canto, 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Narada Instructs the Prachetas. End of the fourth canto. Om Jnana Timira Tasya Jnana Jana Shadakaya Chakshuruna Militan Jina Tasamai Shri Gurave Nama Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshidhari Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Adita Gadadhara Shubhasadi Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shukadeva Goswami continued, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great saint Maitreya and, taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapura to see his own kinsmen. Although he had no material desires, O King, those who hear these topics about kings who are completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead obtain without difficulty a long life, wealth, good reputation, good fortune, and ultimately the opportunity to return home back to Godhead. This part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the fourth canto, the end part, has devoted a few chapters to King Prachinavarishak and his 10 sons, the Prachetas. Some chapters back, The father asked his sons to beget progeny. And in order to fulfill the desire of their father, the Prachetas went west from where they were and to perform austerities in order to do the bidding of their father. Before beginning their austerities, they met Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva taught them the Rudra Gita, the song sung by Lord Shiva. That song, it is a meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very elaborate, very profound, and very meditative. So the Prachetas, they chanted this Gita, this song, for 10,000 years underwater. At the end of that time, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally came before them. He blessed them. And they became rulers for 1 million celestial years. Now, at the end of that time, they again took up austerities. And this time, Narada Muni came to see them. And he gave them instructions. So the question is, and I was asked this personally, then wasn't their life perfect when they first saw Lord Vishnu? That's the question. They had darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why then is Narada Muni again having to come back to give them instruction? This chapter is called Narada Instructs the Prachetas. And actually, this is where it helps to read the Srimad Bhagavatam, all the chapters together, one verse after another, just the translation. If you do that, you will learn something very interesting. When Lord Shiva gave them the Rudra Gita, you will find that he says that this is the song that I learned from Lord Brahma. And then he says, this is a song sung by all the Prajapatis, everyone who wanted to create progeny. It's very interesting. Then Lord Vishnu, when he blesses them, he blesses them in that desire that they had when they first undertook austerity, chanting that song for 10,000 years. He blessed them the fulfillment of that desire in a very perfect manner, 1 million celestial years, unchallenged, undisturbed ability to pursue their desire. Now, Narada Muni finally comes because they see the ultimate goal of doing their duty. There's an ultimate goal. So he comes to give them that. Now, this is very similar to what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that the Vedas, they teach three things: Sambandha Jnana, Avideya Jnana, and Prayojana Jnana. They give knowledge of these three things: Sambandha, Avideya, and Prayojana. Lord Shiva instructs them how they can understand their relationship and the function they have to perform in that relationship. It's a very nice meditation, Sambandha Jnana. So Lord Vishnu, Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar, Shri Gauritaya. So Lord Vishnu, he instructs them that they will actually be able to execute their duties. Abhidev. And Narada Muni is now giving them, or has just finished giving them in this chapter, how they may go back home, back to Godhead, which they did as a result of following Narada Muni's instructions. So now, they're not being instructed how to fulfill any particular duty in the material world, but they're being instructed in their Swarup city, in their eternal function, as servants of the Supreme Lord. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. So this is an instruction for us. We too have to find out, who am I? Who am I is not sufficient to know that I am the soul, not the body. We also have to know, what is my purpose in life? What is my function? What am I to do? What is my activity? That's part of samadhi. And then, we have to then execute. So, the execution depends on who I am. And the sense of identity involves what is my purpose? What is my function? Without this knowledge, we assume that I know. We assume. We say, my purpose in life is to become financially successful. That's the common, most common understanding. But if we think about it, is it really the purpose of my life? Let's suppose you belong to a very rich family. You already have all the success people aspire for, work hard for. You already have it. If you calculate a person in life, if he gets a very successful job, he hopes to earn maybe 3-4 lakhs a year. Maybe, let's say 10 lakhs a year. Very nice. Let's say he hopes to work and get 20 lakhs. Okay, 20 lakhs. So in 10 years, that's 2 crore. Now there are people who already have 2 crore from day one. From day one, they already have 2 crore. And you are going to devote 10 years just to find, bit by bit, 2 crore. And you will not save all that income. Much of it will be spent to earn it. So the question is it the purpose of your life? You already have it. If you belong to a rich family, you already have it. Some people, they don't earn 10 lakhs a year. They have no hope of earning 10 lakhs. 1 lakh is a lot. Some people, they earn 3-4 thousand rupees a month. That's not even half a lakh. So, this idea that our only purpose in life is economic development is actually very foolish. The question is, what is my purpose in life? Now, in the West, they don't say that your purpose in life is so much money. They say no. Career advisors, they will ask you, what do you want to be, an engineer, a doctor? What do you want to do? What's your aspiration. But then, when somebody goes into that line, he acquires that degree, that qualification. It is only for the purpose to earn the money. But leave the money aside. Is that also the purpose of our life? That's the question. Just because we like to do something, many people, they begin the line to become a doctor thinking, I want to help others. I want to help them. But when you're a doctor, is there anybody here who's already a doctor? Anybody? I know a few doctors. I'm sure you all know. But I know them very well because I have a counselor, guide them. They're not doing it to help anyone. Afterwards. It's the payment. And also, how to get money without having to work so hard. That's all. So you write, you rise in the ladder, career development. So you become an administrator of other doctors. And you still get paid very well. So is that the purpose of life? Srila Prabhupada would say this is the fault of the Western civilization. That actually, this is nothing but polished animal life. Because whether it is career development, whether it is financial development, economic development, the end goal is eating, sleeping, mating, and dependent. How do you prove these four things? So you don't have to do it in a very poor environment. You can do it in a skyscraper. To do it in a skyscraper, you have to be very successful. You cannot be earning 3,000 rupees a month. You have to earn a lot of rupees to go on the skyscraper. But what are you going to do? You're going to eat, you're going to sleep, you're going to make, and you're going to defend. You're improving these four things only, at best, at great labor, great expense. You're struggling very hard, karshati, very, very hard. People struggle extremely hard. Now, the Bhagavatam teaches us something different. One thing we learn is that it is not enough for a male and female to unite to create progeny from the Bhagavatam. That's not the Bhagavatam's idea of mating. Because the Bhagavatam doesn't fulfill the need of eating, sleeping, mating, and dependence. The idea of progeny in the Bhagavatam is a duty, is a service, it's an achievement, it's something you have to qualify yourself to do. Like you have to qualify yourself to worship the deity, like you have to qualify yourself to be a brahmana, to teach others, to study, to learn, to understand. Like you have to qualify yourself to be a kshatriya, to fight, to understand ethics, morality, where to apply justice, how to apply justice, who to reward and who to punish. You have to learn. You have to qualify. Because you have a duty that you have to execute for a higher purpose, not for the animalistic propensity, not to fulfill a materialistic bodily urge. Therefore, everyone has to learn sambandha jnana. That's the point. You have to learn these three things. You have to, I mean, everyone would be very surprised The father says, create progeny. And for 10,000 years you go to Jerusalem. Nobody in a materialistic civilization will think that. They say, yeah, no problem. I'll create progeny. What's so difficult? So the Bhagavatam view is very different. They only created one son. 10 brothers, only one son, Daksha. One mother, 10 fathers. But he was a very special person. He was able to populate the entire universe. He was Daksha, very expert. He had the potency, the ability, because his parents were very, very powerful. He himself was powerful. This is how our duties are executed. We look at the life of Srila Prabhupada. His instruction given to him by his spiritual master to teach Krishna consciousness in the English language. It took some time. It took a lot of effort. It took a lot of endeavor. But he did it. So we have to know, what is my purpose in life? Yes, I'm the soul, but I have a particular service that I have to render. Now these services are very interesting. They meet our psychological and physical needs as well as spiritual needs. This is the Vedic system, Varnashram. It fulfills all our needs, not just one need. And the interesting thing of the Vedic system is, if you do it correctly, you will no longer have a material need at the end of it. You will be tript atma, vishuddhaya. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, in the discussion of the dhyana yoga, ashtanga yoga, where Krishna begins by explaining that yogi must be tript atma, vishuddhaya. For purification, he should be self-satisfied. So the Varnashram system is designed to satisfy the living entities in all respects. His body, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs, all of them. Because a person is not following the Vedic system, it is artificial life we live. Even if we get the money, we're frustrated. Even if we get the career, we're still frustrated. What do you speak of those who don't get the money and don't get the career? They're obviously frustrated. So the need is for this guidance, for this understanding. What is my purpose? What should I do? Who am I? But also, what should I be doing? What is my duty? So if we do not know my duty, my first business is to find out. What is it? Do not assume that it is simply this apparent endeavor for immediate material goals. That is not the purpose of life. You should eat, you should sleep, you should mate, you should defend. You should have all your needs fulfilled. But the way we go about it is the important thing. Prabhupada said again and again, the hogs, the dogs, the camels, the asses, they all do it. All these people. But the human has to do it in a special way. He has to do it such that at the end of his life, punarjanma naiti, he doesn't have to take another birth. The other lower species, they do not have such facility, such opportunity. The human does. So this example of the Prachetas is very interesting. They were able to create progeny, one son only, Daksha. They did it when the father was no longer there. He had left. But the purpose was fulfilled. Very nicely. They left, themselves left the kingdom after fulfilling their duty. So this is another interesting challenge. In the Vedic system, after Grihastha Ashram, there is Vanaprastha and Sannyas. And mostly, this idea of Vanaprastha and Sannyas clashes with materialistic life. Because usually, at the time you're supposed to take Vanaprastha, that's just when you finally getting your money or your career. That's about the time. It's a funny thing in the West, actually. You've heard of a car called Ferrari? Ferrari? It's a very, very nice car. It's a sports car. It cost about $200,000 to $300,000. One car. And it's like you have to be young to enjoy it. But you cannot afford it until you're about 50. Now you have a Ferrari. But you're not 20 years old. Because what is an old man going to do in the Ferrari? He cannot drive it. He has to go slow. He's disabled. Only two people can sit in it. You can't put the family. When you needed it, you could not afford it. When you could afford it, it's past. This time. So this is the frustration. We have to understand that we have to become renounced. You can only do that if you were already going through life when you were young with the idea that I want to do my duties and get out. I don't want to come back. For that person, he's able to renounce when he's 50. Because he had no intention of getting a Ferrari when he was 50. He had no intention. He's not enamored. Bhogaishwarya prasattanam deyakrita jetasa. Vivasayatmika buddhi samadhav navidhiyate. For a person who is enamored by bhoga aishwarya, by dreams to enjoy and the opulence, for him this resolute determination for Krishna consciousness cannot take place. But the Vedic person, for him it can. Even if he has enjoyed material life for 1 million celestial years, unbridled, undisturbed enjoyment, you can renounce. Because your consciousness was different. This is the lesson from this leela, this pastime. The last few chapters. Very important lesson. You're all undergoing a lot of austerity. Winter is coming, it's cold. The question is why? Why all this suffering? Early in the morning, cold, cold floor, cold air. It's because it becomes easier if you know that this is not a pointless exercise. I'm not doing it just to suffer. I have a purpose, I have a goal. And I'm fulfilling my goal. But it depends. This is very important. The whole thing, the whole edifice is sitting on one point, that you know what is your purpose. You must know. And Prabhupada would say again and again, to know this, you should approach a bona fide spiritual master. To know this, this is why we need a spiritual master. We need to know what is my purpose in life. The bona fide spiritual master, he is very expert in understanding the disciple. And he guides him accordingly. This is the opportunity. And this is why that person, if he has to stay in Vrindavan, he will stay. If he has to leave Vrindavan, he will leave. But he will fulfill his mission in life, his purpose in life, and he will be satisfied. I use the word he in the Victorian sense, which includes he and she. So you don't have to say again and again, he, she. It means everybody. This is the opportunity we have. And yes, everybody has a very particular purpose in life. They have individual needs. And our service is meant to take care of all these needs, material and spiritual. If you read this pastime of the Prachetas carefully, you will learn that that is what they did. First of all, their father gave them an instruction, which in that section Prabhupada says, that was their purpose in life. Lord Shiva taught them how to be successful in their austerities. They became successful. We assume that because they had darshan of the Lord, that was a success. Partly, but mainly the Lord came to bless them in the successful execution of their duties. For 1,000,000 years, celestial years, they executed those duties. At the end of that, Lord Vishnu had also blessed them, that they would be able to leave it. He taxed them. Narada Muni to give them final instructions, prayojana, the goal of life. And they went back home. That's the formula, that's the idea that we should also follow. I'd like to end here in case there are any questions. Thank you. Just to read the translation one more time. Shukadev Goswami said, continued, Vidura thus offered obeisances unto the great sage Maitreya and, taking his permission, started for the city of Hastinapur to see his own kinsmen, although he had no material desires. Okay, those who hear these topics about the kings who are completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, obtain without difficulty a long life, wealth, good reputation, good fortune, and ultimately the opportunity to return home back to Prabhupada. Any questions?
Bhagavatam and Rudra Gita are quite clear that Lord Shiva worships Krishna. Why is it that many Shaivites maintain that Shiva is the Supreme Personality?
The fault of demigod worshippers is that because they have lusty desires, kamai stanstay rita jnana prapadyanti anya devata tam tam evaitikunta satmas mixed that up. They, because they have kamai stanstay rita jnana, because their knowledge is motivated by karma, lust, some object of sense gratification, they think my demigod, who I worship, is not just worship, but any other. Because they're convinced that that person can fulfill my desires. So, the Shaivites in particular, they're not really interested in what is the actual truth. So, they're adamant. However, Lord Shiva, he is a wonderful personality. Just because somebody may worship him for the wrong reasons doesn't mean there are not those who worship him for the right reasons. Prachetas are a point, you know, a case in point, that they worship him as a spiritual master. And they took instruction from him. And he is to be worshipped, but not as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who think Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they're simply motivated by some lust and desire. So they try to justify. In actuality, the Supreme Absolute Truth is Brahma. When he's understood in his impersonal aspect, he is understood as Brahma. When he's understood in his localized aspect, as the yogis in their heart, he's understood as Paramatma. But when you understand him as a person, as the personality, as the person that he is Lord Krishna. Not because we're his followers, but because he is the Absolute Truth. Vyasadeva says exactly this point. The first verse of the Bhagavatam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya janamadasya yato anvaya itaratas chateshu vidyasa tene brahma ridaya adikavaya uyantiyasa tejo vari gudan yatha virimayo yatra trisato visha dhamna sena sada nirasta puhukam satyam param. That Satya Param Dhime, that personality who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, I worship, who is Vasudeva. Prabhupada writes like that, just like that. That I worship that. In other words, the personality of the Absolute Truth is Vasudeva, Krishna. And that is not just the version of the Vaishnavas, that is the Absolute Truth. In the Ishopanishad, the prayer is that, my Lord, please remove your glaring effulgence so that I may see your personality. And that personality is revealed to be Lord Vishnu in that particular text of Ishopanishad. So all the Vedic knowledge establishes that Krishna, Vishnu, is the person. Now, Lord Shiva is not an ordinary person. He's a special tattva. He's not Jiva. He's not the Supreme Lord also. But mostly the Shaivites, they don't care for what all this detail. So the same thing goes with the Shaktas, those who worship Devi, Durga, and Adi. They don't listen to reason. Is that it? Any other questions? Ratraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada.